Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
All right, folks, I am no fool. There are animals in church. Maybe you're in charge of one of them. Maybe one is actively trying to convince you to go pet them right now. I've strapped one to myself. Like, I've got to work to keep your attention this morning. Why are there animals here today, Vicar? What a great question. See, today we celebrate the feast of St. Francis of Assisi, the patron saint of merchants and needleworkers, families and peace, as well as protection against fire and dying alone. He is the joint patron saint of Italy, along with St. Catherine of Siena, founder of the Franciscan Order, from whom we also get the Order of St. Clair, put on the first ever live nativity scene, and in 1224 had the first recorded case of stigmata. He's also the patron saint of animals and ecology. So I gave it some thought while working on this sermon and concluded that I'm of the opinion that it feels kind of rude to have a whole feast day and not talk at least a little bit about the saint we're celebrating, almost like throwing a birthday party and not inviting the person whose birthday it is. So, St. Francis, the extremely abridged edition. One day in Mass, St. Francis heard the story of Jesus sending out the disciples to claim the kingdom of God. In that story, Jesus explicitly tells the 12 to take no staff, bag, bread, money, or even extra shirt with them. St. Francis took those instructions wholly to heart, donned a woolen tunic, and tied it with a rope, and went out into the countryside, preaching the importance of loving one another as siblings and peace. It's important to point out that he wasn't a priest or anything like that when this happened. He was the son of a merchant, just some guy who heard the gospel and decided he was really going to go all in. And his intense dedication to a life of poverty had people conflicted. The church at that time was very rich, as were the men who held positions of power within it. So compared to them, St. Francis, with his very intentional poverty, was being very radical. But this radical embrace of Christ's teaching also spoke deeply to others. Francis would preach at up to 5 villages a day, which he would travel to on foot, teaching a kind of doctrine that everyday people who weren't highly educated and didn't speak Latin could understand and could apply to their own lives. And his preaching generally focused on God's abounding love for us and the need for community and love and peace. And yes, St. Francis cared deeply about non-human animals, and there's many stories about him stopping on his travels to preach to various creatures he met along the way, always addressing them as brother or sister, because in his mind, we are all of us siblings with the same Father in heaven who loves all of us dearly. But his feelings went beyond that too. See, St. Francis saw all of creation as siblings. So yes, he stopped to talk to Brother Wolf and Sister Bees, but rocks, water, flowers, even death itself, all of creation, he viewed those as our siblings too. If you want more examples of that, the opening hymn we sung this morning is derived from the Canticle of the Sun, which was written by St. Francis himself. See, because for St. Francis, all of creation is an interconnected expression of God's love, and all of us, in our various forms and means of expression, give praise to God. And this mindset resonates so well with today's reading from the second chapter of Genesis. When we read the first chapter of Genesis, we get a God that is situated in the cosmos, making stuff. And on the first day, God makes the heavens and the earth, and then the next day, the sky, and on the third, you get dry land and vegetation, and then the sun and the moon and the stars, the fifth is all the marine animals, as well as the birds, and on the sixth day is all the animals on the earth before finally the humans. And then God looked at the creation and called it very good. And then on the seventh day, God rested. But in this story, we get a very different order and focus. Keep in mind, most modern biblical scholars agree that these two stories were probably written by two completely different authors a few hundred years apart from each other. We don't need to try to do work to reconcile the two stories with each other. They are two very different ways humans have conceptualized the same story. And there's a handful of other creation stories throughout the Bible, and those all differ from each other too. Anyhow, in the second creation story, instead of God like a conductor in the skies telling creation what to do, God is like a gardener down on the ground, molding and shaping the earth into individual living things. I picked a different translation than our usual one for the story today because there's some puns happening in the Hebrew and they get hidden a bit in the English translation. See, Adam means red and it's the name of the first person created. It's also the Hebrew word for human, and in Hebrew, the word for dirt is Adama. In this story, humans are the soil. Humans and the soil are intimately tied together. It's what we're made of and where our name comes from. It is why, in his canticle, St. Francis addresses Sister Mother Earth. Because the earth is us and we are the earth. From dust we are and to dust we shall return. And you can't really convey that same relationship in English as readily, which is how we arrive with the slightly goofy phrase, humans hummus from the soil, which isn't the same, but I think it's as close in English as we can get. And God breathes into human, who then stands there on a barren and desolate soil, which sometimes exudes water, but other than that, has nothing. And this little human gets to watch as God takes what we might now describe as wasteland and transforms it into a lush and vibrant garden. And God looks at this little singular creature that God has made and goes, wait a second, this creature needs companionship. And one by one, God starts building new and different creatures from that same earth and bringing them before human. And it might seem like a petty or insignificant thing to our ears that God lets human name everything. But in much of the ancient world, to name a thing was to specify or define the nature or essence of it. So God is inviting human into the very act of creation, where God is shaping a creature's physical form and human is shaping its character. God and human side by side in the mud, making things, taking what was once desolate and transforming it into a place brimming with life. And human is eventually differentiated into two sexes, but notice God gets to be in charge of that part only. The first human got to witness the creation of every other living thing but itself. But this one was private, a moment witnessed only by God, just as the first human's creation was. And then we had two humans, naked and unashamed in the garden, living in harmony with the rest of creation. There is no special differentiation. Humans are just another of God's creatures, made of the same stuff as any other creature. And that's not to say we're not loved, because we are, but so are all of these other creatures. St. Francis's view of creation is that it's a free gift from God, given equally to all. And that all includes the humans and the dogs and the cats and the whales and the trees and the rocks. And I could just stand here for hours trying to name all the things, but eventually someone would cut the mic on me. But whichever thing you're thinking of, yeah, that one too. But we live on a planet where day by day, we're placing human convenience over and above the needs of any other living creature. Forests are ripped down for new housing developments, plastics invade the ocean, smoke chokes the skies. Animals are poached for fun, some to the extent that they become extinct. Sister Mother Earth is ripped open and exploited for her resources, and what is it to us if in the process we make land uninhabitable to plants and animals that once called that space home? Sometimes it feels like humanity is hell-bent on returning ourselves to that pre-garden moment of the creation story. St. Francis, though, modeled a different view. Creation is not ours to exploit, but rather a testimony of God's love so abundant and profound that for St. Francis, it approached sacramental. It is not good for humanity to be alone. We need our non-human siblings. In them, we see the testimony of God's love. I hope that when they look at us, they can see that testimony too. Today, we give thanks for the animals in our lives, and soon we're going to start offering our blessings to them. But later today, when you're at home with your cat or hamster or dog or fish or porcupine or houseplant or even that one tree you like to stop and look at your walk to the building, I hope you take even just a moment to stop and to listen to them and to reflect on the many and various ways these siblings of yours bestow their blessing on you. Amen.